Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder and your host for this program. If you're listening for the first time, you can find out about our 9-plus-year history at talkingwithheroes.com/about, A-B-O-U-T. And then our current shows, our programs, articles that we publish on our news site is thankyouforyourservice.us. And we also have a new audio and video program, streaming videos, on AmeriStreamLive.com/talkingwithheroes. We have a lot of videos there from the late April Face of America ride with 600 veterans from Gettysburg, Pentagon to Gettysburg. It's an amazing experience. We got all of that on video. And then over the last 11 months now, we basically have dedicated our Thursday night program to an alliance of military support groups. Called r4alliance.org. And when I first started helping them, they had 19 members. Now they have 60. Some of these are very large national organizations. Most of them are veterans leading the way, veterans helping veterans. And it centers around recreational therapy. But we also have been doing another regular program with the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division, based out of Schofield Barracks. And we've had, now this will be our 7th program, talking to different soldiers at 3BCT, 25th ID. And we have now put them all on our news site in one article. Again, thankyouforyourservice.us. And you'll see an article on the left column that says, listen to 3BCT, 25 ID soldiers call in from Schofield Barracks, Australia, and more. So this program, all the programs we've done so far, including two call-ins from Australia. They're all in that section, so you can kind of see who we've had on the program. And then by each one, there's a link. Click on it, and you can start listening. And so we have that set up. And tonight, we're going to be talking with 2nd Lieutenant Clayton Shum at Schofield Barracks. And he is an infantry officer with 235 Battalion, 3BCT, 25th ID, or as they are known, the Bronco Brigade. So I want to welcome 2nd Lieutenant Chung, and thank you for your service to our country. Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you on tonight. And I always like, when talking with soldiers, sir, if you could just kind of go back a little bit. I know you grew up in a military family, so you might want to talk a little bit about that and what led you to also go into military.
Yeah, no problem, sir. Actually, the funny thing is I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I was in high school, even though I grew up in the military family. My father was an Army intelligence officer. He probably served for 22 years. I didn't really consider the Army until my coach for football asked me, you know, what do you want to do for college? And I told her probably some state schools, but she was like, she said, actually, you should probably go to West Point, because that was always her dream, and she thought I would be a good candidate for a West Pointer. So she helped me find some information about it. I talked to my dad about it, and actually, sadly, my mother was very against it, because she didn't want to see her son join the Army, because she knew the hardships that come with an Army family. And it was okay when she was a spouse, but she said it's a completely different story when she sees her own son like join the Army. So she kind of tried to persuade me not to do it and say she could only have one soldier in the family, and that's my dad. But funny thing was, I decided to go the West Point route, and the day before I reported to West Point, my dad retired. So she still got her wish, and she still has one soldier in the family.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you to your dad for his service to our country, and your mom, too. Military family served, too, just different ways. So talk about West Point a little bit. You know, and what happened once you got out of West Point, when you graduated?
Well, West Point, it was, the first year was definitely a long year. That's, we call it plebe year, and there's plenty of stories about how hard it is and how many, like, little duties you have to do in order to get by, and it's not like the most glamorous thing, but it does make you appreciate every little thing, that every little privilege they do give you afterwards. But even though it was like a hard 4 years, I actually really liked it because I formed some of like the best friends that I've ever had. And it's like just great to have that type of close bond. And that's the type of thing that I really enjoyed about just the military lifestyle in general. You're not going to form that type of camaraderie with anyone else except for people that serve with you. So that's one thing that I've really grown to appreciate. And so, yeah, I majored in electrical engineering at West Point, which just made my life even harder being an engineer there, but graduated, thankfully, and then commissioned as an infantry officer because my father was a big influence in my life, and I asked him, should I go MI, signal, infantry? And he told me, you know, some of the best officers he met were all infantry guys, and there's no job like being an infantry platoon leader. So that's kind of a big factor into my decision. So I decided to go the infantry route, which landed me in Fort Benning, Georgia for infantry basic officer training. And that was also a lot of fun just because there was you're with a bunch of your peers again. So you never really felt like you left your school. And then you get to go through this other training with them and hone your tactical side of your profession. And then you have great mentors like Staff Sergeant Edwards and Sergeant Norton. They're just really good mentors that like kind of paved the way and gave us more than just tactical advice, but also kind of like just mentorship of just all aspects that officers should consider that they wish their platoon leaders would have known. And after that, I got a slot for Ranger School and got to go to that school, which was a very brutal school. It's a brutal school in general, but being, I believe, a Winter Ranger, because I went in February, made it even harder just because there's just the aspect of the cold, which I thought I would be okay with it, but the cold out there in the mountains of Georgia are no joke. But gladly, I only recycled Ranger School once and was able to go through straight through after that one recycle. And after that, I went to Airborne School, and now, finally, after just a little less than a year of all that training, I'm at my first duty station in Hawaii, which is not a bad duty station to be at.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I've heard a lot about Airborne, the JOPS training and Ranger School from my friend Bill Wisniewski. He's retired Special Forces, and him and his company is... they've been filming there at Fort Benning for 15 years, anything to do with Airborne. And so, you know, maybe when you came down from one of your drops or an award ceremony, you might have seen some people taking pictures or filming. That was probably Bill and one of his team. So
I think he introduced himself and, like, was saying, hey, if you want any pictures or videos of your Airborne training, like, he'd have them for sale, like, after we graduated and pinned on our wings, so... yeah, we saw him out there. He got a couple
That's
good shots of people getting dragged.
Yep. Yeah, I was out there one time when I was at Fort Benning during one of the drops, and I was just amazed. I didn't really, you know, a civilian, you know, what do I know, right? I don't know what you all experienced and all that, but I got to watch some of that, and you can just see the pride, though, in the family sitting there. Is really a great experience. But, yeah, he's been doing that for, like I said, 15 years. I actually, on one of my embeds in Iraq, I embedded with a Fort Benning unit. So I got to go back there later and back out on Fort Benning. So it was pretty cool. So this is your first assignment. And you kind of told me before we went on the air, obviously your goal now is to become platoon leader. But you have to wait for a position to open, right?
Yes, sir. It's kind of a first-come, first-served basis, and it really helps if you do have your Ranger tab. So getting that Ranger tab was a big plus for me. But right now I'm waiting in the staff duty shop, and I'm just doing various tasks for logistics and training in order while I'm waiting for a platoon to open up. But hopefully... you know, it won't be too long because that's what I've been training for. So that's what I'm pretty excited to do.
That's great. Well, hopefully some of what you're doing there will help you when you become a platoon leader, right?
Right. Actually, I'm kind of glad I didn't just get thrown right into a platoon because they're so, like, even though they train you, like, on the tactical side and, like, all this, like, kind of mentorship side and what you can expect from to be when you're a platoon leader, like, when you get to your actual unit, there's so many other things that you still have to figure out, like, just, like, geographically, like, where are all these ranges, or what's the tempo of the battalion right now, or what's the feel for each company. So I'm actually getting all that now, kind of in the background, like, behind the scenes almost. So I actually feel like waiting around a little bit was kind of a blessing in disguise, because it's not like I'm frantically running around with my head cut off or anything like that, trying to find all these training sites. I can kind of go to these mentors, these captains, these majors, and even fellow lieutenants that have been here for a while, and ask for help and say, hey, I'm working on this this memo for this training site or something like that. And they'll be like, yeah, sure, I remember working on something like that, so I'll give you all the information and help you need. So it's been actually a good experience so far.
Well, that's great. So, you know, we've been talking to some soldiers with 3VCT, and some of them have been participating in the Pacific Pathways. And it's amazing talking to Colonel Kelly and his counterpart, Lieutenant Colonel McGann from Australia Army. Have you learned, like, a little bit about what they're doing over there, or do you think you'll be part of that in the future too?
I can't really speak too accurately about Pacific Pathways. I mean, I know the general gist of it, but being hero, this is only my third week here, so I've been more busy trying to in-process and figure out exactly what my battalion's been doing. So sorry if I can't speak too accurately about it.
No, that's fine, seriously. You know, to me, every soldier that comes on shares what they can, what they want to. I always tell people this, it's your program. Something that you can share with family and friends, and, you know, we'll do our best to get what you say out to other people too. So what's it like going from Georgia to Hawaii?
Well, you know, the weather's a big plus here. it's just amazing, because not only do I get to do a job where, yeah, it's a hard job. It's like they work you pretty hard here. 235 Cacti Battalion, we pride ourselves in being the hardest working and most fit battalion in the brigade. But the more I see it, I'm proud to be a part of the battalion, even though I've been only here for a very short time. But it's long hours, and we do work very hard for our soldiers, for our mission. And it's actually great, because, like, at the end of the day, even though you're tired, you, like, realize that you're still living in paradise. I can, like, go back to my hotel right now, since I'm still looking for lodging. And I'm, like, 3 blocks from the beach, and I can just kind of unwind and look at the beautiful beaches of Hawaii and be like, you know, I'm in a job where I've been wanting this job since, like, college, and I'm living in a location that most people come to vacation ad, so I feel like I'm, like, living in a dream, but it's been a good ride so far.
That's great. So are you able to keep in touch with family and all that? I imagine they're in different parts of the country, right?
Yeah, my parents recently moved to Korea to take care of my grandparents, so they like it, because instead of having to travel, like, 10 hours to, like, the States or something, or I have not 10, like, 12 or 14 hours to the States, all they have to do is do an 8-hour plane ride, so that's, like, a lot better for them. And plus, instead of visiting me in Georgia, which they never did, but there's really nothing to see in Georgia, so there's something to do for them other than, you know, me, if they come to Hawaii, since I'm sure I'll be busy, but I'll probably take some leave in order to see them if they do come out. So they're pretty proud.
Yeah, I had no idea Korea was that close. It's actually shorter than from the States. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So just based on your, you know, being kind of new to the military and all that, what would you say to the American people, you know, a large percentage who maybe don't have any experience with somebody in the military, what would you say to them as far as supporting all of you in the military, especially those who, you know, deploy to areas where they could be in harm's way?
Well, I mean, I can just say that it is it's a special type of occupation that we all chose to be in. I've met so many people in the military that could have done probably anything like they wanted to, but they decided to serve. And our mission isn't, you know, just to like go over, and it's not an offensive mission that what we're doing. We're really defensive. We're here to protect the people, protect freedoms and rights of the U.S. But we also do more than just what the news reports in the Middle East. Like, no one really talks about the current mission that we have in the Pacific Pathways, which is like the joint exercises with different countries, building relations, strengthening relations with these other countries. And then they also don't talk about the contingency response force that Hawaii is a part of, which is like a humanitarian effort for if anything does go wrong in the Pacific. My brigade is actually responsible for going out and giving humanitarian aid and shelter and protection of these people. So there's many more jobs in the military than I think is shown on TV. And it's great that you have a program like yours here that spreads the message of these various different jobs that the Army and the military do, because I guess, like, because of the Vietnam era, there's so many movies like that, like, give the military a bad name, but we've expanded and we've fixed so many of these deficiencies that we found out in the past, and we've expanded our mission base to do more than just offensive operations. So I'm proud to be a part of the military. I mentioned my dad was part of the military, and he's a big factor in my life, a huge hero of mine. So I'm proud to be following in his footsteps, and I'm proud to be serving a country which gave my family, like, the opportunity to come to America and make a better life for ourselves, because I am from Korean descent, and I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the previous soldiers that helped fight and protect Korea, which allowed me to come over and become an American. So I'm extremely proud, sir, to be a part of this mission and team.
Well, we're proud to have you be here in America, and thank you for, you know, being willing to follow in your dad's footsteps, but serve yourself and defending us, but also helping people. Now, I noticed here, can I go back for a second, if you don't mind, back at Fort Benning, you assisted with a battered addiction women's shelter in Columbus, Georgia?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. There was, while we're doing our training, there's a little bit of waiting time in between training. So while I was waiting for waiting to PCS out of there, the Army has these like programs which we can help out and give back to the community. It's usually run by the chaplain program or the chaplain's office. So they always like list out all these like community service projects that you could be a part of. And I was just lucky to notice that one, and I signed up for it. And yeah, we just did a few little bit yard work for the Better Woman in Columbus, and they really appreciated it, because that organization, it's a good organization, actually. They have two sides. They have the battered women who just need protection, who were in like domestic abusive relationships, and they also have like an addiction center there as well, who are like just the girls who are stricken with any type of addiction, whether it be alcohol or drugs, and they just give them this safe haven and this like counseling that they need in order to overcome these addictions. And they actually have one of the highest percentages of recovery rates for addictions. I may be misquoting it, but I think they were telling me that the state average, like state facilities that have these addiction recovery programs, usually only have like a 50 or 60% retention rate of like girls not coming back to addiction. But they pride themselves on having like an 80, close to 90% recovery rate.
Wow.
So It's a great program. They know what they're doing. We were just a little part of it. We were just helping them do some yard work and doing some heavy lifting that some of the women just needed help with. So I can't say I really did too much there, but I was proud to help out for a few weekends, just mowing grass, cutting lawns, picking up trash, just really basic stuff, but just anything to give back to the community and also spread the word of, you know, that the Army is not here to, like, you know, just be training and forget about the local community. We're here to also help out the local community as well as help out other countries. So I think that was a great program to be a part of, sir.
I can tell you enjoyed it, too, and I have no doubt that the families, the women that you were helping, they really appreciated it, I'm sure. That's great. That's really neat to hear these things. So you mentioned family, your mom, dad. Do you want to give a shout out to family and friends wherever they're at?
Yeah. So for my father, my mother and father in Korea, I would like to say hi. Love you guys. Miss you guys. Hope you guys can come visit in December. And for my sister, I want to give her a shout out because she's actually taking the bar exam today. So good luck
wow.
to her. She's in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's also doing great things, making our family proud. And,
that is great.
Yep.
Go ahead. You can give more shout outs if you want.
I guess just another shout out to my grandparents. They're also in Korea, and just coming from the Soan family background, always have to give a shout out to my grandfather and grandmother, who I hope I can continue to make proud. And I guess that's it. Oh, and my
great.
Girlfriend. Sorry, Angie.
That's right. Now you don't want to lose your girlfriend, now, right?
Yeah.
So is she in Hawaii, or she living someplace else?
No, she's currently in Philadelphia working as a paralegal. But, hopefully she can come visit sometime in September. But, the distance is hard, but it's just one of the factors that she knows is always going to probably happen, dating a military guy.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I appreciate you being on the program tonight. I appreciate Captain Tanya Roman for setting up this program, as she's done many others previously. And so I want to thank you very much again for your service to our country, and appreciate you sharing with us on the program.
No problem, sir. Once again, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Maybe we'll get to meet later in the year.
Oh, that'd be great, sir.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com to another program with a soldier with 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division, stationed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. As I always ask everybody at the end of the program, please share this program with other people. All the programs we do, whether it's our R4 Alliance program on Thursday or our 3BCT 25th ID program, could be Sunday, could be Monday, but all of them, we ask you to share those program posts on social media so other people can have an opportunity to listen to. So I want to thank you all again for listening and sharing. And before we close this program, I do want to reach out to our men and women who are serving around the world. Thank you for your service to our country, to your families for their service, and to all of our veterans. And especially to those of you who may be in an area of the world where you could be in harm's way. Be safe. Stay alert. We look forward to you coming back home. God bless you. God bless America.